Good morning, Connecticut, and to our friends across the sound. It's Director of Public Affairs, John Vokette. Thanks for tuning into our award-winning For the People, bringing you the latest information to help address concerns in our communities tied to youth, the economy, public health and safety, aging, education, and the environment. This morning, we're going to open covering a lot of ground with a couple of representatives at Eversource. We're going to get clued in on the resources available to state Eversource gas and electrical consumers through the Connecticut Energy Efficiency Fund, and we're going to relate some important warnings about energy-related scams that are hitting consumers across Connecticut and help state businesses, homeowners, even renters save a bunch of money by promoting specific efficiency programs available to them. Next, we're going to hopefully help Connecticut residents dodge the tragedy of a house fire this holiday season by tapping a guest from the National Fire Protection Association. We're going to hear from the NFPA about why live Christmas trees are particularly dangerous if not maintained, as well as important reminders about home emergency escape planning, fire extinguishers, smoke and CO alarms, and other things to look out for to protect yourself and your home from fire. And we're going to close catching up with the founder of Harmony for Kids, a Bridgeport regional nonprofit working to connect young children with opportunities for music lessons, instrument donations, and all the social, emotional, and academic benefits that come with robust exposure to music and the arts. And we'll invite you out to their annual holiday concert coming up on December 19th. We'll be back with these segments and more on the award-winning For the People with me, John Vokette, right after this reminder. The Parent Leadership Training Institute, or PLTI, seeks to enable parents to become leading advocates for children. Parents, children, and communities all benefit from PLTI. And a new training session for interested parents and caregivers is beginning in January. So consider signing up or learn more by contacting Leslie Darling, the PLTI coordinator at the Milford Health Department. You don't need to be a Milford resident to join PTLI. Graduates come from all across the state. For details, just call 203-783-3383 or visit Milford's Parent Leadership Training Institute page on Facebook. Well, as we lead off our program this morning, we're going to visit with a couple of great resources that have served our For the People listeners well in the past. Mitch Gross is with us. He's with Media Relations at Eversource and is in touch with me at least on a weekly basis through advisories, emails, and things, giving us great information. And Mitch and I go back many, many years, so he is a very worthy voice in regards to our local and regional energy consumption and consumer issues. We have also had the pleasure of having Enoch Ling on the show. He is an energy efficiency spokesperson, and whether you're a business owner or a homeowner, we're going to have some very valuable money-saving information for you coming from Enoch in just a few minutes. But for now, let's start things off with Mitch Gross. Mitch, thanks for phoning in and being part of the program this morning.
Hello, John. Thanks for having me.
So, as you pointed out in an email to me a couple of weeks ago, a lot of folks may be thinking that some of the energy programs in Connecticut are gone or at least significantly depleted. So maybe they're questioning as to why they should even bother trying to see if they could qualify or benefit from these programs. But I guess, in fact, despite the fact that the legislators in Connecticut were kind of dipping into or looking at that fund back at the beginning of this fiscal year, things are, to quote you, still alive and well.
That is very true. We're referring to the Connecticut Energy Efficiency Fund, which, of course, is the foundation for all of the great energy efficiency programs offered through Eversource and Energize Connecticut. Yes, you are correct. Our state legislators, you know, they had some very tough choices at the beginning of this fiscal year. But unfortunately, they elected to transfer some of the funds from the Energy Efficiency Fund to the General Fund to take care of some of Connecticut's fiscal woes.
And not a small not a small chunk of change either.
$100 million or so. I've seen all kinds of estimates, but the fact is, despite that step, we, Eversource and Energize Connecticut, continue to offer all of the programs and services under the Energize Connecticut umbrella. As you noted, Enoch will give you some details as to what's out there, but As you noted in my note to you, the programs are alive and well. They are available year round. It's unfortunate that most of our customers they think of energy efficiency when the temperature drops, or the first snowfall happens, or the first leaves begin to fall. Mm. But these programs are available year round from Eversource authorized contractors, and they are some very good people that work with our customers throughout the state.
And obviously, you and your contractors are doing a pretty darn good job, because I gather Connecticut is a shining example of both the utilization of these available energy efficiency measures, as well as the benefits that they are getting them. These energy efficiency measures that are in great part being brought to us by Eversource are making a big difference in catapulting Connecticut into a leadership role across the nation.
Well, since you've given me the opportunity to blow our horn a little bit, I will thank you. I will do so. Yes, according to the American Council for an Energy Efficient Economy, and they come out with these rankings every year, Connecticut remains one of the nation's top performers in energy efficiency. We are currently ranked fifth in the nation. That's one spot up from 2017. And we continue working hard year-round, you know, to make all these programs and services available to our customers, and more continue to take advantage of them.
Hmm. Mitch, can we talk just for a few minutes before we switch and visit with Enoch about the synergy between the Eversource electrical energy entity and the Eversource gas providing entity?
Okay. Specifically, what are you looking for?
A little bit about how the combination of both of those highly utilized energy resources under a single umbrella both enhances efficiency on the part of the delivery and the administrative end of things, but also it is helpful and beneficial to the consumer.
I think the last part of your comment is the key here, John. It's easier for our customers. It's one-stop shopping as far as a brand. Who's my electric company? Eversource. In many cases, who's my natural gas company? Eversource. You know, they come to Eversource. It's not a, you know, it used to be there were multiple names and multiple brands, and we did, you know, 3-4 years ago we instituted the changeover, and it's worked very well that, you know, our customers recognize us by the one name, Eversource.
Very good. The last thing I guess we need to touch base on, sadly, before we go to Enoch, is the proliferation of scams that we've been hearing about, tied to, whether it's people calling up or even showing up at the door, sometimes looking like they're even wearing something like uniforms or official clothing, maybe showing something that looks like official documentation or even identification. This is a growing problem. Eversource is partnering with law enforcement agencies, both, at the federal and state and local levels, as well as consumer organizations like BBB and our Consumer mm-hmm. Protection Agency. Let's hear what folks need to be reminded of in regards to these scams, because these are 12-month-a-year, 365-day-a-year concerns for you.
And not only are they 365 and 12, they are national. They are happening to utilities across the country. We are working with a larger group called Utilities United Against Scams. We put out reminders multiple times a year to our customers to be aware of scams and slamming, which is another issue I'd be happy to talk about. Let's start with the scams. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you have people who call you or show up at the last out of nowhere at your front door saying, hey, I'm working with Eversource and I can lower your utility bill. Well, there's a big red flag right there, because that's not the way we do business. First of all of our employees carry photo identification. Our field workers wear company logoed clothing. We drive company vehicles. So that's the first thing. If someone comes to your door and says, I'm from Eversource, ask to see their identification. They will be happy to show it to you. If you're still not sure, you call us up to confirm that this is indeed an Eversource representative coming to my door for whatever reason. And even more important, we never, never demand instant payment in person or over the phone. If you get a call or you get a visit saying, sorry, I'm with Eversource, you have 30 minutes to pay or I'm going to shut off your power, another big red flag. Again, that's not the way we do business. Hang up the phone, close the door. We also recommend if one of these people or you get this phone call or you're approached, that you call your local police and let them know, because there's a good chance they're working your entire neighborhood as well. They're not just targeting you on your particular street. You know, other things. We don't require the use of prepaid debit cards. You know, these people will call and they'll say, you need to make payment through something like Green Dot Money Pack or the Vanilla Card or the Reloaded Card. Or they'll say, you need to meet me at a payment center, like a department or grocery store, to make a payment. No, that's not the way we do business. And we never solicit door-to-door or on the phone on behalf of third-party energy suppliers. Yes, you have a choice here in Connecticut as far as energy supplier. There are very reputable companies offering their services, or you can stick with Eversource as your supplier as well. But we never, never solicit on behalf of these third parties. And another issue we have, unfortunately, is what is known as slamming, where we're asking customers to check their bill and check it carefully. Who's your supplier on your bill? Unfortunately, sometimes we have instances of suppliers switching the information on a customer's bill without their knowledge. And suddenly you're being supplied by XYZ Energy instead of ABC Energy or Eversource. So we're asking the customers to, you know, always take a look at your bill as well, whether online or in the mail, the information's there. Who's your supplier?
Yeah, and certainly public safety is of utmost concern. And, you know, sadly, we had that situation in Massachusetts outside of Boston with the gas leak and the issues that were happening up there. But yeah, I guess it's important for consumers to know that if somebody shows up at your door, even if they look like they may be an Eversource or a utility worker, and they're saying they have to get into your house to do an emergency inspection, chances are, I guess, that they're going to be either accompanied by or the folks in that home or in that neighborhood are going to be warned by law enforcement and or fire departments. Departments along with the utility representatives, right?
Exactly. And again, we have ID. It's very clear. We all wear them. They are picked photo IDs that clearly say Eversource and identifies by name, have the photo ID. We've had instances, we've heard of people coming to doors, flashing a so-called Eversource badge in somebody's face and quickly pulling it away. Now, that's not the way we do business. If you want to see our ID, I'm going to hand it to you, so you can take a look at it. And again, if you're not sure, you call customer service. You call our 1-800-286-2000 number, talk to a representative. They'll confirm, and they'll do everything they can to confirm that that is indeed an Eversource representative standing in front of you.
Great information. Mitch Gross on the line with us from Eversource, as well as Enoch Lange. He is an energy efficiency spokesperson with Eversource. So we're going to switch from protecting you from unscrupulous characters at your door and on the phone to saving you some money in 2019. We heard that the Home Energy Connecticut Energy Efficiency Fund is intact and doing what it's supposed to do in terms of providing business and especially homeowners and renters with some great benefits. Enoch, thanks for joining us on the phone. Great to see you again, or talk to you again at least.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
So let's, before we go to homeowners, let's talk a little bit about the Small Business Energy Advantage. I have personally had a number of business people from companies large and small raving about the advantages and savings that they've been able to enjoy under this program. What do businesses need to know?
Yes, we operate a really great program called the Small Business Energy Advantage Program. And what it is we have Eversource-authorized contractors that really take the time to understand what the opportunities are at someone's business, whether it's commercial, industrial, small business, you know, they go into the site, and at no cost they'll assess the energy opportunities, and they'll look at things like lighting, HVAC, refrigeration systems, and various other things. And they'll put together a report and a proposal for those energy-related upgrades and show the economics, really show the details of, you know, what's the cost, what's the energy savings, what is the incentive that the program offers to cover a portion of the cost, and what's the payback. And then one of the best things about the program is that it offers 0% financing, which is great because you know, it makes the economics of doing an energy efficiency project even better. So, in general, the incentives for doing those upgrades, like lighting, HVAC, our incentives can cover up to 50% of the contractor's proposal cost, and then the remaining balance can get financed at 0%. Mm. So again, it's really a valuable program, and the contractors really take the time to lay out the economics of the projects.
And with 6,000 energy efficiency upgrades for Connecticut businesses of all sizes already accounted for, there's still a lot more work to do, a lot more energy and money to be saved on the part of businesses. But I guess it's also important, Enoch, for people to know that if they sign up their business, it's not like the contractor, you know, comes in, they reach a successful compromise on what needs to be done, they do the work, and boom, you never see them again. There's technical support that's consistently available for any of the businesses that have been part of this program, right?
Oh yeah, these. So the work that's done is, as you mentioned, you know, we've been doing thousands of jobs, you know, successfully for years, and the contractors are extremely reputable, and you know, they're there to form a relationship with the customer, a long-lasting relationship, so that you know, for example, they might you know, propose some new LED light fixtures, you know, that might have a control, like a sensor on them, but they're going to, you know, talk about maybe doing a test installation to see if this is, you know, this is the technology that a customer likes, or they might do some monitoring, you know, on HVAC equipment, you know, to make sure that it's operating properly. These are all things that our contractors do on a everyday basis. So yeah, they're not there to, you know, put something together and then walk away and, you know, not be there as a resource. They're definitely there to form a long-lasting relationship because, you know, you never know if that customer owns another business or, you know, they're part of a network and they, you know, tell one of their other fellow business owners. You know, a lot of our success probably, you know, is due to good, you know, word of mouth, mm-hmm. and, you know, sharing the word about that.
Yep, good networking. Likewise, with the Home Energy Solutions Program, another robust and extremely successful initiative that is available for all Connecticut homeowners and, in many cases, renters, right?
Yes. Yeah. And you were talking to Mitch earlier about protecting, you know, ourselves and our homes. You know, it kind of made me think of Home Energy Solutions as kind of a first step to doing that from an energy perspective, because it really looks at, you know, protecting both, you know, your wallet a little bit by saving you some money through energy efficiency, and I'll explain, you know, that, as well as, you know, protecting your home from, you know, air leaks, reducing your comfort, and you know, the goal is that we want to keep you more comfortable, and we want to keep that, you know, that either warm or cool air if it's the cooling season inside your home. And there's much more to the program, and I can explain a little bit about that Home Energy Solutions program and how it works.
Sure. We've got about 3 or 4 minutes left with you. Let's do that, because there's rebates and discounts for home energy improvements, but not just that. Folks can also utilize the program to identify and obtain appliances too, right?
Yes, yeah. So in addition to the Home Energy Solutions Program, where we send out a authorized contractor to assess and do on-the-spot improvements like air sealing, light bulbs, water savings measures, and a whole host of other things, we also have programs that provide instant rebates or discounts on things like appliances and electronics. So, you know, when you're out shopping, you know, maybe for a Christmas gift or, you know, something for your home or for, you know, one of your loved ones or a friend, you know, look for the Energy Star label, but also look for the Energize Connecticut, you know, label. We have a lot of point of purchase signage that's out there at, you know, big box stores like, you know, Best Buy, Home Depot, Lowe's, Costco. We partner with these great companies.
Yeah, and I guess the best way for folks to know is to go through the website, right?
Exactly, yeah. So all of this information can be found on energizect.com or by calling 877-WISE-USE. Again, that's 877-WISE-USE. And just to put one more plug in for the Home Energy Solutions Program, that can also be taken advantage of to sign up for your home through both the website and the number that I mentioned. And really, that's our most popular program for homeowners. It's $149 for folks that heat with electricity and natural gas, and $179 for folks that heat with oil or propane. But the real value is the fact that on average, we've seen homeowners realize about $200 per year in energy cost savings by doing that. So it pays itself back, you know, within less than a year. It's really a valuable thing to do to get some insight and energy savings in your home.
Very good. Enoch also occasionally blogs and provides energy tips. If you're interested, you can go to eversource.com and put your state in and hit the button to read seasonal energy saving tips, and as well as learning much more about all of these programs for homeowners, renters, and businesses here in Connecticut. A fantastic, I mean, it's holiday time, and it's you guys who are giving us all the gifts in terms of both efficiency and helping to save the planet a little bit more, as well as putting some hard-earned money back in our pockets with some of the savings that we're going to enjoy. So thanks to both of you, Mitch Gross with us on the line, as well as Enoch Lange, energy efficiency spokesperson for Eversource. Gentlemen, have a great holiday. Thank you for this wealth of information, and we will talk to you again in 2019. Well, everybody knows it's holiday season, that's right, and we are so glad to be able to tap into the experts and resources of the National Fire Protection Association, which works in concert with virtually all of Connecticut's 169 municipal fire marshals, as well as fire chiefs, volunteer and paid fire departments, and other responders here across the state. And for you folks out there on Long Island, too, and wherever you may be listening, really important information that you're going to be hearing during our midpoint segment from Susan McKelvey. She is with the National Fire Protection Association. And really, part of what prompts us to invite the organization on here to talk about things that you might say, you know, we've heard this 1,000 times. It was just Fire Prevention Month. We got all the kids came home with all the books and coloring and escape plan logistics and all that. But one can never be reminded too often. And the reason is between 2012 and 2016, fire departments across the country responded to about an average of 170 home structure fires that began just with Christmas trees. And sadly, a number of these fires caused multiple deaths and injuries, as well as $12 million in direct property damage. Those are quite sobering statistics, Susan. What else can you tell us from a data or a historical perspective in terms of the concentration of fires that we tend to see, not just throughout heating season from like, you know, late September into sometimes mid to late April, but this concentration that often happens when we kind of glom on all of these holiday devices, many of which are now driven by batteries and electrical power.
Sure. So we know that December is a leading month for home fires, and that's for several reasons. Heating is the second leading cause of fires in the U.S., home fires in the U.S., and obviously it's getting cold out. People are turning on their heating systems, so that contributes. The holidays are a definite contributor to an increase in home fires during the month and into January and February. People are doing a lot of things. They have Christmas trees in their homes, like you just mentioned. Those are highly combustible items that continue to become more combustible as the days go by because they continue to dry out. So there is a risk there, obviously. We use a lot of candles for decorating, electrical decorations and lighting in our homes, oftentimes in contact with Christmas trees. And then the last thing, too, is cooking is a leading cause of home fires, and we're doing a lot of entertaining. We're doing a lot of cooking in our homes. So all these factors combined contribute to an increased risk during the month of December.
Yeah, I guess also doing a lot of partying that might involve the intake of intoxicating substances also may cause folks to lose attention span or not be paying attention sometimes to some of the risks and the proximity of combustible things to things that can make them light on fire, right?
Right. It's so important to make sure that you're alert, awake, even well rested too, you know, whatever it may be. You want to make sure that you're in the right frame of mind to cook or use candles. You know, you want to make sure that you're aware of what's going on around you. And then if you're not, if it's not the right time to do those things, then be wise, be aware, and make sure that you don't put yourself at risk for having a fire if you are, again, drinking or you're just tired and it's late. Those types of things can inhibit your awareness and your ability to minimize risk.
Yeah, and holiday time is also the time when maybe folks are getting gifts of, like, fine cigars. You know, certainly a number of states have relaxed their regulations on other types of smoking materials. But here in Connecticut, at least, we have had a number of fatalities over the past year or two from people who have fallen asleep while smoking, whether it's cigarettes, cigars, or something else. Is this something that is still on the radar for the NFPA?
So smoking is among the leading causes of home fires. So, of course, yes, we want people to make sure if you do smoke in your home, you want to make sure that you do so safely. Being awake and alert to make sure that you put out cigarette butts or a cigar carefully is really important. If people fall asleep, sometimes, you know, it can fall into a couch and that can ignite a fire. So you really want to make sure that you, if you are going to be smoking in your home, that you take the steps necessary to make sure that you know you're not at risk for fire.
Very good. Well, we started to talk a little bit about Christmas trees. Are they the main culprit when it comes to the fires, the home and structure fires around the holiday time that the NFPA is tracking, or are there other equal or even greater risk factors that we should introduce?
So Christmas tree fires don't actually happen very often, but when they do happen, they tend to be more deadly. So we know that the likelihood of dying in a fire when a Christmas tree is involved is much higher than other types of fires, which is why it's just so incredibly important to bring them into your home and take care of them carefully, making sure you water them every day, making sure they're not blocking exits. Those are really just some very simple steps you can take that can really make a difference in enjoying a tree safely, in addition to making sure that if you are decorating it with holiday lights, that the lights are in good working order. But there are other contributing factors around the holidays in terms of decorations that do present a higher risk. We know that there are a lot of decoration fires that happen, about 800 home fires each year, excluding Christmas trees, that are associated with decorations. So you want to make sure that you are using candles very safely. Candles are a big contributor to decorating fires. They're responsible for over a third of them. So making sure that you keep candles in sturdy containers, well away from anything that can burn, and then you should blow them out when you leave the room or go to sleep. You really need to monitor them carefully.
Very good. When we talk about holiday decorations, obviously a lot of them are driven by batteries. And as these decorations get smaller or deliver more complex lighting and animation, especially if they're wireless, they may be using things like lithium batteries. Have you folks at the NFPA done any examination as to whether or not there are issues related to battery-powered animatronics, decorations, or other things that people use specifically either in the winter or around holiday season?
We don't have any data that points to a significant number of lithium-ion-related fires. Our data doesn't track information that specifically, and the Consumer Product Safety Commission may be able to speak to that with more detail in terms of products that might have issues. But in general, no. There was an issue with hoverboards a few years ago. There was a spike in fires associated with some brands of hoverboards. But overall, lithium-ion batteries are in so many of the products that all of us use in our homes every day without issue. So, again, we don't really have the data specifically on them, but just from what we know, they're not happening very often.
Mm-hmm. How about in terms of decorations that involve electrical connections? Is there any type of indication whether or not even decorations that might be used outside could potentially cause risk, maybe not necessarily even for fire, but maybe for electrical shock?
So electrical distribution and lighting do contribute to some of the decoration fires that happen each year. Again, just taking some basic precautions can make a really big difference in enjoying them safely. So making sure they're in good working order, making sure you're following the manufacturer's instructions for how they're designed to be used. Those are keys to making sure that you use those types of decoration safely.
Okay. Are there any other objects we might have on display in our homes during the holidays that we may not immediately identify as being dangerous or threatening?
It's more the idea of candles and electrical, lighting. Those are really some of the biggest areas. Really just also cooking equipment because can sometimes get involved in decorations. So you want to make sure that when you are cooking that decorations are far away from the cooking area.
Excellent. Very good information so far as we hit the midpoint in our interview with Susan McKelvey. She's with the National Fire Protection Association, working in concert with fire marshals and firefighters across the United States and right here in Connecticut with the many 170 home structure fires on average happening every year that are associated just with Christmas trees and causing sadly multiple deaths and $12 million in direct property damage, as well as fires that are caused by home cooking, 530 deaths since 2012 and $1.1 billion in direct property damage. Her organization and Susan's input is quite critical at this time of year and year round. We're going to be back to talk about some more winter heating season warnings, provide you with some reminders about smoke alarms, talk a little bit about what else you should do in case of fire. We'll be back with Susan McKelvey from the NFPA, the National Fire Protection Association, right after this break. Do you love Connecticut? If you do, there are hundreds of nonprofit agencies, community groups, and grassroots causes that would love to have your support. You can learn about many of them through Love CT. Just go to our radio station website, hit the event guide tab, and click on to Love CT to help the many causes supported by Connoisseur Media. This is Director of Public Affairs, John Voquette. We'll be back to the award-winning For the People right after this news. Hey, have you seen a shady ad? Well, report it to the Better Business Bureau. The new online tool, BBB Ad Truth, empowers everyday shoppers to report suspicious or misleading ads. Keep in mind that misleading ads often lack evidence to legitimize their message. Not sure how to know if an ad is misleading or not? BBB has a free Ad Truth quiz to help you test your knowledge and steer clear of fraud, especially as the holiday season progresses and we move into the new year. When reporting a bad ad through BBB Ad Truth, consumers are asked a series of questions about where they saw or heard the ad, which claims were made, and why the consumer was concerned about the truthfulness of that advertisement. Consumers are also able to upload screenshots or photos as proof. Want to know more or take the quiz? Just visit bbb.org/adtruth. Well, thanks for sticking with us. You are obviously a safety-conscious listener and enjoying our conversation with Susan McKelvey with the National Fire Protection Association, working to keep us all safe. Christmas lights, candles, homemade treats are all part of the holiday season tradition, but each contributes to the season's merriment and lifetime memories. However, they all pose potential home fire risks that can quickly turn this joyous time of year into a tragic one. Susan McKelvey, thanks for sticking with us here. Let's talk about some of the ways generally listeners can lessen potential fire threats this holiday season. You specifically mentioned before our break, just to make sure we're in the right mind when we're doing cooking, keeping decorations away from live fire sources. But how about in terms of prevention? Obviously, for when we're asleep or out of certain rooms, smoke alarms are mission critical, but also home fire extinguishers and the tendency for folks maybe to want to try to put out what appears to be a small fire themselves with a home fire extinguisher. I'm gathering that's maybe not such a great idea to try to do before you call 911 for fire department assistance.
Right. So the goal at NFPA is for people to be safe, and that's what we want everyone to do in a fire situation, is to be safe and get out as quickly as possible. So, in terms of using a fire extinguishers are great and very effective tools at putting out small, containable fires. But there's a lot of information you need to know and a lot of practice you need to have in order to use an extinguisher effectively. So you need to know that you have the right type of fire, or the right type of extinguisher, rather, for the fire you're trying to fight. You have to have the training to know how to use the extinguisher properly. And in a fire situation, you know, for most people, it's something that they may have never dealt with before. You're nervous. And so it's a lot of information that you have to, it's a lot of decisions you have to make in a very quick amount of time. So unless you really have an awareness of having the right type of extinguisher for the fire you might be having in your home, our recommendation, and we really urge people to do this, is to get out as quickly as possible, call the fire department, and let them handle it.
Very good. In terms of smoke alarms, obviously daylight savings time is when we are reminded to change the batteries. Any other specific reminders about smoke detectors, including how many should be used in a home and where they should be located for maximum effectiveness?
Sure. So smoke alarms are your first line of defense in a fire, so it's so important that they're working properly and, like you said, installed in the all the right locations in your home. So you want at least one smoke alarm on every level of your home. You want them near sleeping areas and in each bedroom. And you want to test them monthly to make sure that they're working properly. And then when you hear the chirping sound of, in an alarm, that means that the battery is running low. So if you have an alarm that uses a traditional battery, obviously you would want to replace that. A lot of newer smoke alarms have 10-year batteries, so that probably won't be an issue nearly as often. But again, if you hear the chirping sound from a battery signaling that the battery is low, you want to make sure you replace it with the proper kind of battery. And then if you're still having issues, it means it's time to replace the alarm.
Very good. Any specific tips in terms of carbon monoxide or that threat that's posed? I guess it could potentially be worse in the wintertime during heating season when everything is closed in a lot, right?
Right, so carbon monoxide incidents do increase during the winter months. They're also so important to having your home. You know, carbon monoxide is called the silent killer because you can't smell, breathe, taste it. So you need that detection in the event that there is carbon monoxide in your home so that you're aware and can get out and call the fire department for help.
Very good. I wanted to touch base with you on another subject. I was visiting with some members of a fire company a few weeks ago, and we got onto the subject of staying as safe as possible in the house. And one of the firefighters reminded me that when we go to sleep at night, we should be closing our bedroom doors, not leaving them open, because by closing the doors, you're actually also creating a greater buffer of protection. And for me, I always thought, you know, keeping the doors open to keep the air flowing freely and to be able to hear that smoke alarm if it's not in direct proximity to the bedroom, but maybe in an adjacent hallway or, you know, somewhere else on that level of the house, it was actually the way to go. And they were like, no, you'll be able to hear the smoke alarm with the door closed, and it will offer you added protection. Do you have anything to say about that?
So ideally with smoke alarms, you want them to be interconnected, which means that when one smoke alarm sounds, they all do. In that case, you would have a smoke alarm in your bedroom, so that let's say it's in the middle of the night and you're sleeping and your bedroom's on the second floor and there's a fire in the basement and the alarm sounds in the basement, the alarm in your bedroom sounds at the same time. And that gives you the optimal amount of time to get out. In which case, having a door shut can be helpful, because obviously if the fire spreads quickly and you are encountering smoke or eventually flames, then the door does give you additional time to get out. But ideally, the goal is if you have interconnected alarms, then the alarms will be close enough to you that whether the door is closed or open, you would be able to hear it.
Excellent. Any additional information that you can offer in the last couple minutes that we have with you to either remind folks of a couple of the most important things that we've already covered who may have joined us late, or anything we may have missed at this point?
You know, the truth about the holiday season is that there are some increased risks, like we talked about, cooking, decorating. The great news is that by just having an awareness of where those hazards exist and taking some simple steps to prevent them can go such a long way toward ensuring that you enjoy a safe, fire-free season with your loved ones. So that would be my biggest tip, is just be aware of where the hazards exist. Take some simple steps. It can make all the difference. And our website, nfpa.org, has a wealth of information for people if they're looking for more.
Excellent. The NFPA has been working to keep us all safe from fire since 1896. This global nonprofit organization is devoted to eliminating death, injury, property, and economic loss due to fire, electrical, and related hazards. And of course, they deliver information and knowledge through more than 300 various standards, as well as performing research, training, education, outreach, and advocacy. Our guest this morning is Susan McKelvey with the National Fire Protection Association. Stay safe this holiday season. And Susan, thank you. The information that you've been able to deliver through our program today could undoubtedly save lives right here in our neighborhoods in Connecticut. So thank you for your visit this morning and all this great information. Well, we're wrapping up the program this morning with a dear friend who has been working with us and has been a guest on the show frequently over the many years that we have been looking at her organization, which began back in 2009. We are with Irina Hart Makarchuk. She has established a 501c3 nonprofit based in Fairfield, Connecticut, that's dedicated to transforming and enriching the lives lives of children and creating doors of opportunity for them through music and the arts. It is called Harmony for Kids. If you'd like to learn more about them, their website is Harmony, the number 4, KIDZ.org, Harmony for Kids. And if you would like to actually experience the magic that Irina and her kids do, we would like to invite you to their 11th annual benefit concert on December 19th at 7 p.m. at the FTC Stage 1, the Fairfield Theater Company Stage 1 venue down on Sanford Street in Fairfield, right by the Fairfield train station. And we're going to talk more about that as soon as we catch up with Irina on some of the exciting things that have been going on in the past year or two with Harmony for Kids. Irina, thank you for joining us on the program.
Oh, thank you so much for having me, John. I love the support that I get from the station and from you personally. It means so much to us.
Well, it's important because the bottom line is, and I tell people this, my life was maybe definitely changed, maybe saved by music. I mean, I know throughout my life when I've been in the deepest of depressions or feeling blue or sad or anxious or upset about something, I can either take out my guitar or one of the instruments that I play and or turn on some music from my favorite artists or turn on some classical music, and magically within minutes those stresses and worries and trauma melt away. But it's so much more than that. As you and I have talked about so many times in the past, science and statistics show that kids that are involved in music do better socially, they do better academically, and this is something that you have seen yourself in hundreds and hundreds of kids that you've dealt with over the past 10, 11 years, right?
Absolutely, absolutely. So yeah, so our journey with Harmony for Kids started with teenagers on the streets of New York, basically homeless, and we uplifted them with music. And as we developed as an organization, we realized that the best way to prevent that teenager from getting on the street is to start much earlier. So our focus has been for the past, say, 5 years on working with children much younger, 3, 4, and 5-year-olds, just to give them, to plant the seed, to use music and the art as a tool for artistic development, and to make music and the art accessible to all children. So we focus on children that would not otherwise have the opportunity, so their parents don't have the money to send them to music lessons. Mm. And, of course, the music programs get cut first when there's budget cuts. So we make sure that even though there are budget cuts and even though there are people that can't afford it, we make that music and the arts accessible to all children.
And that accessibility is not just for young people in Fairfield, right?
Well, we're going to expand into New Haven area, but right now we were focusing on the children in Bridgeport, A, B, C, D in particular. That's our focus this year and has been for several years. Mm. But we are looking actually to expand to other cities like New Haven and in more upstate Connecticut. But we're still Connecticut-based. And actually, because what we're doing now is we're partnering up or we're approaching colleges, we figured out that there's a win-win for college students to become interns and collect service hours and go and do these lessons for the kids. So the little kids benefit because they have lessons, and the college students also benefit because they get to be of service. And Harmony for Kids is going to be just connecting the dots, and that's very exciting, and that's something we've been working on for quite some time. And I believe in 2019 is going to be the first year where we're actually going to implement that.
Oh, okay. I guess also, you know, one of the things about an organization like yours growing a little bit older and becoming a little bit more integrated and familiar in the communities that you serve is that, you know, you can maybe enjoy the resources of some of the young people that you helped 8, 9, 10, 11 years ago. Are you seeing some of these early stage Harmony for Kids participants coming back as young adults and lending their volunteerism or their expertise to your programs?
Well, they're still in school, but as soon as they get into, you know, say end of high school or college, that's definitely going to be that's definitely going to happen. I think being celebrating our 10 year in January, we're going to have 10 years. We were in the exploratory phase of mm-hmm. our development, but as we're getting stable and know what our focus is, we're absolutely going to have the children that we focus on graduate and become volunteers. Absolutely. That's our future.
Well, you mentioned this great partnership that you've had over the past few years with ABCD in Bridgeport, and that you're interested not only in expanding into the greater New Haven area, but also perhaps up the Housatonic and Route 8 corridor into central Connecticut, you know, Danbury, Waterbury, Meriden areas, perhaps. Can you talk a little bit about this partnership with ABCD and what organizations you'd like to partner with in other areas of the state, and how folks that might be listening this morning could reach out and help you?
Yes, absolutely. So with ABCD, we worked with, you know, their daycare. They have 45 classrooms with 20 children per classroom, and they're all very young, ages 3, 4, and 5. We want to stay with that early learning age group. And basically, our beta site will be partnering up with either Fairfield University or Sacred Heart, and acquiring a few students. We'll be training them how to do these workshops and setting it up so that they could do this at ABCD. And then once we get that kind of ironed out, that kind of a system, what I'd like to do is go ahead and do it in New Haven. So what I would need is to contact a similar school such as ABCD in the New Haven area, you know, an inner city type school which does not have a music program, mm-hmm. and contact, say, UNH or Quinnipiac College, mm-hmm. which we have contacts there. We've already contacted mm-hmm. these institutions, and have a handful of select students that want to participate in the very early stages of developing this program, and get that going in the next year. And as that becomes more stable, it'll be a turnkey situation where students will participate from colleges and bring the classes to the young children.
Very good. And speaking of young children, here we are in holiday season, and you're not only trying to impart the year-round gift of great music, but you're working to collect some gifts for some very special children ages 3, 4, and 5 at this event that you're having on December 19th. So in the last couple minutes that we have with you, Irina, why don't you extend your invitation to our listening audience, and hopefully they'll be able to come out to Stage 1 for that event.
Absolutely. We're having a Secret Santa gift drive. So if you have a gift for a young child, 3, 4, and 5, you could drop it off at FTC starting already. You could drop it off today. Our show is going to be on December 19th. Please come enjoy the music. We'll have some of our young volunteers performing. I will be performing. Some of our more you know, local celebrities will be there. And it'll be a fun show. We'll get the community together for a good cause, and be together for the holidays and think of others as we celebrate all the blessings in our lives.
Very good. So that they can, up until the day of the show on December 19th, folks can go to the Fairfield Theater Company, the FCC, FTC stage one to drop off wrapped gifts for specifically for children ages 3, 4, and 5, which are you know, right about that that the top end of that, at least, Irina, are the ages where you are now going to start working with these kids on learning about and developing an appreciation for music.
Absolutely, and the gifts we're going to bring right to ABCD the day after. And we are also going to visit ABCD that during the day on the 19th and do a little show there for the kids because they're too young to come out. But we're definitely going to make their Christmas special this year.
Excellent. And if anybody is listening and they want to, I remember there was a period of time we were reaching out for instrument donations. Is that something that you're still interested in?
Yes, we're still doing that. We're collecting instruments all the time and then gifting them to the children that don't have those instruments. So please feel free. That's our year-round program that we do. We refurbish instruments and gift them to the children that could use them.
Great. Well, we hope people will come out on December 19th at 7 p.m. to FTC Stage 1 right by the Fairfield train station. Make that donated admission and bring one or more wrapped gifts for children ages 3, 4, and 5 to be distributed through the ABCD Early Learning Program in Bridgeport. Or to learn more, you can just go to Harmony for Kids on Facebook or to their website, harmony4kidz.org. Our guest for this final segment this morning is Irina Hart McKerchuk, who is the founder and soon celebrating the 10th anniversary of this great organization. So, Irina, until we speak again, happy holidays. Thank you so much for all you do. And we'll see you on December 19th at FTC Stage 1 and for your great concert. Thanks for being part of the program. You've been listening to our award-winning public affairs program, For the People. The opinions expressed on this broadcast represent those of our guests and host. If you have a suggestion for a guest, an issue, or a PSA relevant to the audience and communities we serve, you must make a request for airtime in writing to me via email at john.voket, that's john.voket, at connoisseurct.com. We do not accept pitches or requests for coverage by phone. Remember, no part of this program may be copied, disseminated, or rebroadcast without permission of Connoisseur Media. Our public file, reflecting the full scope of our station's responsiveness to critical issues in the communities we serve, can be reviewed upon request during normal business hours at 440 Wheeler's Farms Road in Milford or on our station website. Our theme music is by Rick Miller and Scotts, with original music by Noel Viette. I'm Director of Public Affairs, John Voket. Join us again at this time next week for more conversation and important information on the award-winning For the People. Don't forget, you can listen to this and other For the People podcasts anytime on iTunes or under the podcast tab on our station's website. Until this time next week, thanks for listening.